Well, this is my last week to say Happy New Year, Devin. I guess I could have said Happy Robbie Burns Day for my Scottish kinfolk. Geed Burns nicht. And yeah, that's about it for me. It's great stuff. But next week will be February. Can you believe it? 1 month already gone. Crazy. If you're new, though, I want to welcome you. Glad that you're here. I'm Pastor Bert, and although you missed a few of our weeks in our new theme, Courageous Through 2026, I hope you'll stick around to learn how to live a courageous life this year. Last time I spoke, we looked at the cycle of the seasons and the changes that each season brings. We explored the parallels between the early or the yearly climatic seasons and the seasons of life. We saw how each season can bring both good and bad with it. We learned that the reason that the seasons do change is actually to bring us growth and multiplication in our world. We also learned that although change can bring good and bad, God is able to use it all to mature us, making us more equipped and effective in accomplishing his will and fulfilling his purposes. A lot of times we think that if we're in the middle of God's will, things should just go well for us, right? But often what we find in the Bible is that throughout history, the followers of God, in spite of being right smack dab in the middle of his will, they faced tremendous difficulties and trials. Even Jesus himself was not immune to the harshness of people and the difficulties of life. He experienced hunger, thirst, homelessness, distrust, slander, abuse, false accusations, and even murder. Yet in the midst of the troubles that people have gone through, godly people that they faced, we recognize that each one of them were blessed and effective in fulfilling God's purpose and vision. Why? Simply because that's what God does. He's a redemptive, restorative God. He doesn't insulate us from troubles, but helps us through them. He allows the trials and tribulations of life to mold us into the people he desires us to be. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17, 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Insulation is not for the child of God, being separate from all of this. And isolation does nothing for him either, taking us out of the world. And this is where I think the ascetic monks have it wrong. Because you can't grow in faith and character in isolation when you're insulated away from other people. And that's why God provides the church, a congregation of believers for you to grow together with. Because we do grow better together. Let me give you a couple examples of what I mean. Paul, early church leader, wrote to the church in Ephesus. He said, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. That's really hard to do in isolation. Right? You can't become patient alone. It must be tested by other people. To the same group, he said, be kind and compassionate to one another. You can't become more kind if you never extend kindness to others. And Jesus said, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Being able to show mercy means refraining from throttling someone who rightly deserves it. right? Extending mercy to them. The way godly character develops is through practice and training in and amongst other people. Faith and character are spiritual muscles that need to be exercised through both aerobic and resistance training in order for them to grow. What I mean? I mean that just like aerobic training is about sustaining a specific activity over an extended period of time, our faith and character traits require that same thing. They need to be tested over a long period of time. The Bible talks about us being long-suffering in our character, right? That means to endure patiently through an extended or repetitious ordeal. Peter asked Jesus, "Lord, how often shall I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? "No, not 7 times, Jesus replied, "but 70 times 7. Now, Jesus' reply here showed Peter that it wasn't about letting someone off the hook. It's about growing godly character within. Jesus was saying, Peter, as long as they keep offending you, you must keep forgiving them. That's what long-suffering is all about, folks. And in regards to faith, often we're required to keep on believing, right? Don't stop. Sorry. Keep on believing through the answer. Even though the answer seems to be slow in coming, I almost got myself off track there. I hate when good songs pop in your head. Actually, I really like it. But in 1 Kings 18, Elijah persevered in prayer, it says, 7 times until he received the response from God that the rains would fall. And we see in Daniel 10 that the prophet's faith had to persevere for 21 days as God's messenger was delayed by the devil's forces. And there are many, many other biblical examples of faith and character being developed through persevering spiritual aerobic exercise. And likewise, there are many instances of faith and character being developed through resistance training, by people resisting and opposing the man of God or woman. All you have to do is look at the life of Jesus himself or the Apostle Paul's many confrontations through the book of Acts to see this reality at work, all the opposition they faced. Folks, there are no spiritual steroids to shortcut what God wants to do in your life. Believe me, I wish there were. I'd be first in line. But growing in faith and character takes perseverance, both perseverance and resistance. So just because you're going through some sort of difficulty or trial, it doesn't mean you are not in the middle of God's will. It's more likely that you're right where you're supposed to be in order for God to grow your faith and character, which in turn will prepare you for greater service so you can hear his voice clearer and know his will better so you can fulfill his calling and purpose for your life. Today, we're going to look at the story of Solomon that I believe reveals some things that we can expect during a season of change, so that we can and will courageously seize opportunities that present themselves this year and be better able to experience the excitement of what a new season brings. So if you have your Bible or your app, you can turn to 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll camp there. Solomon, the most likely writer of Ecclesiastes that we looked at this week, was the son of King David, the greatest king in Israel's history. Solomon became the king after his father, David, who was the shepherd king, right? Now, Solomon wrote a lot about seasons and changes, and we've looked at that already. But today, let's read about the first significant season in Solomon's life that he had to go through and see what we can learn from his experience, okay? So it's found in 1 Kings chapter 2, as I said, start right at the beginning. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. "I'm about to go the way of all the earth," he said, "so be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in obedience to him. Keep his decrees and commands, his laws, his regulations, as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go." So the most obvious thing that we see at this point in Solomon's life is that new seasons, they bring changes, don't they? And we looked at this point last time I spoke, so I'm not going to belabor it, spend a whole lot of time on it today. You can watch that message on YouTube. But in our text, we find this whole theme of change again and again in the life of Solomon. David says to him, "I'm about to go the way of all the earth, so be strong, act like a man." So his life, Solomon's life, was about to significantly change because of the new season that was coming. His dad, the king, was dying. The man who had led Israel successfully for many, many years. The man whom the people loved, adored. The man whose heart was after God's own heart. Now Solomon was going to be expected to fill those shoes. Now, I'm sure Solomon was experiencing sorrow, hearing about this and during the death of his father. No doubt he was sorrowful, but I'm also fairly concerned that, or certain, pardon me, that he probably felt some excitement about the prospect of being king. Wouldn't you? I mean, who wouldn't? He would now be the man in charge, the ruler of an entire nation. He could eat whatever he wanted, right? He could do whatever he liked. He could stay up all night playing video games if he wanted. Yes, they had them. However, as Solomon was about to find out, life and freedom is more than fun and games. There's a lot of work involved in order to enjoy those fun and games and freedom. And I have no doubt that this was probably weighing heavily on him, on Solomon. His father was a great king, but he became king as a man who was a seasoned warrior and leader. Solomon was just a boy. How would he be able to lead like his father? No experience. And how do I know Solomon was just a boy? Well, the ancient historian Josephus shows us Solomon was actually 14 years old when he became king. In the Book of Antiquities of the Jews, he writes this: "So Solomon died when he was already an old man, having reigned 80 years and lived 94. And you can do the math. And even Solomon himself said he was a child. In 1 Kings 3:7, "Here I am, God my God, you have made me your servant, ruler of the kingdom in place of David my father. I'm too young for this, a mere child. I don't know the ropes, hardly know the ins and outs of this job." You know, last week I spoke about the significant change that happened in my life when my parents broke up, and I was 10 years old when that happened. Major changes at such a young age can change you greatly, affect you greatly for the rest of your life. It changes what you see as important. For me, it was esteeming commitment, loyalty, selflessness over anything else. For Solomon, it was similar, a commitment to keeping God's decrees and to selflessly lead God's people. A new season brings change. It brings an opportunity for maturity, to grow up, to be strong and act like a man or woman of God. That means moving forward in the midst of change and uncertainty. That means putting the needs of others ahead of ourselves. It means walking in obedience to God's word and the leading of his Holy Spirit in our lives. For Solomon to grow, he needed to experience change. David needed to enter into his eternal rest so Solomon could grow and become the king that he was meant to be. For DCC to grow, there are going to have to be some changes. Changes in personnel, changes in ministry, changes in facilities, changes in the way we do things. But trusting the Lord through change will help us grow closer to the Lord and one another as he leads us through the change. So for you and I to grow, we need to experience change. Maybe it's through some of the natural seasons of life. We change. Things change as we go through that, right? God, though, helps you to grow through each stage as you trust in him. Maybe the change you need to experience is the change of wanting to do things your own way and start living God's way. That can be a scary change, but it is a change that will provide eternal benefits beyond any you can imagine. As changes come, accept them as part of life. And let the Lord grow you through them. As you recognize that a change needs to take place, commit to trusting the Lord to lead you through those changes and just draw closer to him through them. The second thing we can experience and expect during the season of change is that it'll bring some challenges. Changes bring challenges, always. And Solomon, no different. He not only had a changed position now as the new king, but with those changes came challenges for him. Suddenly he had to govern a kingdom. How's a boy going to know what to do in those circumstances? He hasn't even gone to high school yet, let alone get a poli-sci degree. Solomon had a great challenge ahead of him, something he had to deal with. So how did he handle this challenge? Well, let's read it in 1 Kings chapter 3. It says, "The Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, 'Ask for whatever you want me to give you.' And Solomon answered, 'You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you, and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours?'" Solomon had a pretty awesome and challenging task before him. Who is able to govern this great people? Now, many of you have challenges that you're facing right now, that are ahead of you still. Maybe you have a challenging role in just simply trying to raise your kids. Maybe they're testing your authority, you're not sure how to handle it. Or maybe you're facing challenges in your marriage, challenges in your job. Our challenge here is growing and equipping this church to care for each other and reach out to the people in our community. That's a challenge. But whatever challenge you're facing, you need to face it like Solomon faced his challenge, with humility seeking the wisdom of the Lord first and foremost. The early church leader James taught that if any of you needs wisdom to know what you should do, you should ask God. And he'll give it to you. God is generous to everyone and doesn't find fault with them. So we need to ask God for wisdom when we're going through stuff, right? When times are tough and challenging situations come up. Lord, how can I teach my child to respect my authority? Lord, what changes do I need to make that will help rebuild and strengthen my marriage? Lord, give me wisdom to be a leader in my workplace. Lord, how can I serve you and glorify your name in what I'm facing right now? Humbly ask God for his guidance, for his wisdom in the facing whatever challenges you have to deal with. And he will provide what you need. And the final thing that we can expect when we enter a new season is that the challenges it brings will bring up courageous champions. Challenges bring champions. You know, one of the first tasks that Solomon took on was to build a temple for the Lord God. And the priests finished putting all the articles in the temple and getting it all ready. It says, as they were leaving the temple, this happened. When the priests withdrew from the holy place, the cloud filled the temple of the Lord. And the priests could not perform their service because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled his temple. Then Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever. While the whole assembly of Israel was standing there, the king turned around and blessed them. Solomon accepted and faced the initial challenges of ruling a nation with humility, seeking the Lord's wisdom each step of the way, putting God first. And as he continued to move forward, the Lord blessed him, and he was able to be used to do many more mighty things. You know, the Bible, church history is filled with champions. Abraham leaving everything behind to follow God, to birth a nation. Joseph saved two nations because of his integrity and forgiveness. David slaying the giant, becoming Israel's greatest king because he sought after God's own heart. And here we see Solomon becoming the wisest person on earth because he humbled himself and submitted to the Lord's wisdom. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, but I could never do anything like that. I will never be a champion like that. I don't have anything of significance to offer. I've tried to do things in the past, but I've just failed at them. I think perhaps you've missed the formula for success that each of these champions found. It says the key to becoming a champion is submitting yourself to God. That's it. When we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ in our daily lives, trusting him through the challenges that we face, humbly seeking him during those times, he gives us the wisdom and the courage to see them not just as challenges, but really as opportunities to be used in a greater way. And the reality is that God wants to use every one of us in this room. And he will use everyone if we're willing to humble ourselves and submit to his will and purpose. Again, James says, humble yourselves with an attitude of repentance and insignificance in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will give you purpose. If you humble yourselves by trusting in the Lord, following him, following what he wants you to do, you will become a champion for Christ. It all starts with accepting the changes that he may want to make in your life right now. Walking in faith through those times, through those trials, through those challenges, through those experiences and situations. And moving forward humbly, obediently, into what the Lord would have you to do in the midst of those situations. Because that's how champions are born. In the fire, not on the mountaintop. I want to tell you that there is nothing greater than being used by God to accomplish something awesome. And the truth is, you'll never actually realize how awesome it is until it's over. As I said last time I spoke, some of the most effective and rewarding things that I've ever done for the Lord were simply because I made myself available. There was no audible voice, no great calling. It was simply filling a need. Remember that line from the movies, Robots? See a need, fill a need. As I said, sometimes the greatest ministry is simply that. Just that. Seeing a need and filling it. And sometimes the greatest champion is simply just trying to do the right thing at the right time. Someone who comes along to help just when all hope maybe seems lost. Someone who simply offers a cup of cold water, a shoulder to cry on, or a helping hand. Maybe you're unsure of what the Lord wants you to do. Don't let that keep you from ministering for him, from serving others. See a need, fill a need. If you can't see the need, ask. Ask the Lord, open your eyes. God, what are the needs around here that I could fill, that I could accomplish, that I could do? Ask those maybe who are involved in ministry. What can I do around here to help you? Whatever it is. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You can use your time, talents, and tunies to help the church reach people for Jesus. If you don't have a church, I welcome you to find out more about DCC. To see if this is a place where the Lord can use you. In March, we're going to have another one of our newcomers classes, the discovery classes. And if you started coming to DCC in the past 6 months, this will give you some insight as to who we are and why we exist, why we're here. We'll offer to cover some stuff as well, like baptism and membership, just in time for the AGM and Easter baptism service. But maybe for some of you here today, the first change that you need to make in this season of your life is putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life. You know, I grew up knowing about Jesus, but never really knowing him. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you've known the facts or even questioned whether he existed or not, but you've never really taken a step of faith by receiving him as Lord and Savior of your life. The Bible says, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. It's a pretty simple formula that's worked for the past 2,000 plus years. Believe plus receive equals become. Believe Jesus is God's Messiah, the Savior of the world, and receive him personally into your life, and he will save you from sin and accept you as his child, a child of God. Solomon, it says, put his faith in God to give him wisdom to lead God's people well. Today, you can put your faith in Christ and become God's child. you'd like to do that, then if we could all just humbly bow our heads in prayer and humble our hearts before the Lord, and you can receive Jesus right now. And as I lead you in a prayer, you can just pray along silently, allowing my words to express your heart to him in prayer. With our heads bowed, could you simply let me know if that's you today that wants to do this for the first time, to accept Christ and follow him? You can do that by quickly just raising your hand. Thanks. Just pray along silently with me. Dear God, I admit I haven't been living for you. I've been doing things my own way, and I'm sorry. I know you only want the very best for me now, so I want to put my faith in you today. Please forgive me. Please fix my relationship with you so I can live with you forever. I believe that Jesus came to do this by dying and rising from the dead. So I ask you, Jesus, please save me and lead my life from now on. I'm ready to start living for you and courageously start sharing the hope that you've given me today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the band comes back, if you did pray that simple prayer for the first time, could you fill in one of those connect cards as well? If you're just new here today, we'd love to connect with you. You can fill in one of those cards and see how we can help you as you grow in just your steps with living for God and following him. We'd love to come alongside you and help you with that.